We're coming back to our new series. There it is, Stewarding Life. And that was the title of last week's lesson, as we talked about stewarding, being stewards of life in general, the life that God has given us. We learned that life is a gift from God. We learned about the value that God places on each life. By the way, let me ask you this question. The value that God places on the life, when does that start? At conception. We learned that it begins at conception, but really, it starts even before that, because we read a verse, and I meant to go back and find that reference. It was an amazing verse, but the person who was speaking said, God, I'm going to paraphrase, he said, you wrote my members in a book, something like when they were not. In other words, when my members weren't even created yet, you already had them written, each of those members in a book. You knew about me. Of course, we looked at Jeremiah and some other passages, how God knew those individuals even before they were born. He knew them in the womb. And great stuff. God values our lives, every life. Well, we're going to move on. The idea of this series is, as you can see on this slide, one lifetime. We just have one life. Some are longer than others. We have limited resources, and we have, or should have, eternal priorities. And that's the idea of the series, is to help us to focus on this life that God has given us and how we should steward that life and all the resources that are included with our lives. And so today we're going to move on into the next topic, stewarding time. And as you can see there, we need to go to Ephesians chapter 5 for this passage. You may have noticed that your handout sheet is quite lengthy today. I asked preacher when I came in, I said, does it matter if I do this in two tries? Because we might not get it all in today. I'm going to try to. But the fact that the handout sheet was so long makes me worry a little bit. But we'll see how it goes. Ephesians chapter 5, let's read that together. We're going to begin in verse 14 and read down through verse 17. Ephesians 5, 14. Of course, Paul is the human author, and he writes this, wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And then notice this verse, in verse 16, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So those are some great verses, and we'll try to unpack those a little bit throughout this lesson. Let's pray and we'll get started. Thank you, Lord, again for our time that we have here during Sunday school. It's a valuable time that we can learn from Scripture. We can learn how to better our lives so we can be what you want us to be. And so we pray that you'll guide us through this lesson. And I pray that we'll be able to get it completed on time, the entire lesson. And if not, we'll certainly pick it up next week and complete it. Thank you for your help. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to start right off, right, having you write something down. Life is a gift. We learned that last week. Life is a gift. And so, therefore, time is the vehicle by which it is delivered to us. That's a great thought. I don't know if I've ever thought of it that way before, but, you know, time is life. And this life that we have is a gift from God. And the vehicle He uses to deliver that gift to us is this thing we call time. Each day you and I live, we have at our disposal 24 hours. Sometimes I wish there were more, right? But you and I, we both have 24 hours per day. That's 1,440 minutes. It's 86,400 seconds. And every moment is a precious gift from God. Someone calculated this. I'm not sure how accurate it is, but let me give you this. It's assuming a typical lifespan of 70 years, and I certainly hope mine is more than 70. But if we just go on 70, of that 70 years, we sleep 23 years of that time. That's 32.9%. We work 16 years of our lives. Television watching is 8 years. Eating is 6 years. Travel is 6 years. Leisure is 4.5 years. Illness is 4 years. We spend 2 years dressing. And the religion is 0.5 years. So, again, I'm not sure how accurate those statistics are, but it's kind of interesting. If anything else, it helps us and reminds us the value of time. That it's a fleeting resource, and so we need to be wise about that. Ben Franklin said this: "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander it, for it is the stuff life is made of." And so, just like life itself, what we looked at last week, there are some options on how we spend our time. Just like last week, we looked at options on how we spend our life in general. But you know, when it comes to our time, we can waste it, or we can spend it, or more importantly, and hopefully we'll learn today, how we can invest it. So those are really three options that we have when it comes to utilizing this resource that God gives us. It's time. And again, time really is our life. And so it's very important that we utilize it properly. So let's look at the priority of time here, first of all. The priority of time. You know, most people each day enter on a treadmill of meaningless routines. Each day is a repeat of the last. Sometimes I know how that is. They go to bed to catch the rest they need to do it all over again tomorrow. And of course, routines are important because routines really lead us to success, the success that God wants us to have. But sometimes our routines are focused on meaningless tasks, things that really don't matter for eternity. Really, our lives should be more than getting up, going to work, coming home, watching the news, going to bed, then repeat the next day all over again. There should be something that helps us. Even though we may have to do those things, there ought to be something that we're focused on that has an eternal focus, not just what's going on here on earth. So let's move a little further here. First of all, Paul tells us in this passage, he's speaking to these individuals, and he says that they need to awake to salvation. Paul admonished us to wake up, and Christ would give us light, he said. In verse 14, we'll look at that again, we read it a moment ago, but verse 14 says, "Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." This passage speaks to those who have never come to the light of Jesus Christ. They need to repent and they need to be saved. So it's speaking to those who have never come to the light of Jesus Christ. Furthermore, they may have been religious but lost. You know, our world is filled with that category of people right there. Religious but lost. Someone has said it's religion sends more people to hell than anything else. It's religion and false religions that even religion under the guise of Christianity, people end up dying and going to hell because they've never realized that it's not about them. It's all about Jesus. They never realized that they can't earn their way or work their way to heaven. They've never realized that it's all by the grace of Jesus Christ, the finished work on the cross. And all God's people said, amen. That's what we believe. That's what the Bible teaches. That's not a Baptist thing. That's a Bible thing. And so these people may have been religious, but they were lost. They need to arise to repentance. Paul used the word arise there, and that meant turning to Jesus Christ. Hold your place there. Let's look at another verse in Isaiah that uses that word, that same word again. Interesting. Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah 60 and verse number 1. Very first word. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. And so we see that word arise there in the Old Testament. David Henry David Thoreau said this, as if you could kill time without injuring eternity. Think about that. That's interesting. As if you could kill time without injuring eternity. I like that. Letter B. So awake to salvation, but also awake to God's priorities. And now this begins to point us in the direction as those of us who have already come to the light of Jesus Christ, and we're walking in the light, now we need to begin to understand God's priorities and what God has for us. Jesus is the greatest gift ever given. I think we would all agree to that. Amen? He's the greatest gift. And we celebrate Christmas because of that. However, time is the second greatest gift ever given. The way we spend our second greatest gift will, by and large, determine to what extent we are able to share our first greatest gift with the world. If we don't prioritize our time and understand the priorities that God has for us, we may never have the opportunity to share that first greatest gift with others, especially as we just speak of the world in general, because we don't understand the priorities that God has for us. As you look over the last week, for instance, have you truly been awake, realizing and using the time that God has given you? So that's a challenging statement as we think back to our introductory remark on ways of spending this resource time. Are we wasting it? Are we just spending it? Because we can spend it foolishly. I mean, when we say invest, that is we are spending, but we're doing it with wisdom. We're doing it wisely. We're doing it in God's eternal purposes. So we have to ask ourselves, hey, what am I doing with my time? Am I using it wisely? Am I investing it or am I wasting it? And so we'll, of course, talk more about that as we move along here. Are your moments being spent in ways that contribute, listen, to fulfilling God's will for your life? In other words, are you investing in eternity by investing in people? And I like that statement. You say, well, how do I have the priority? How do I know I'm investing in what God wants me to invest in? Simple. Are you investing in people? Life is about relationships. And we're investing in people, whether it's trying to get them saved or we're trying to edify a fellow believer, things like that. We need to love our spouses. We need to spend time with our children. And you may not have thought these to be those things, but these are investing in people for eternity. When I love my spouse, when I love my wife, I'm investing into the bank of eternity, if you please, and we'll talk about that later. When I spend time with my children, I'm investing in lives, and it's an eternal thing. When I witness to coworkers, when I encourage godly friends, and when I just minister to others in general, that's all investment of time that will count for eternity. It's not a waste. That's valuable investment. And those are eternal priorities that must be woven into our lives on a daily basis. And so very good. Let me give you this other quote. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once you've lost it, you can never get it back. That's a good statement, isn't it? So all about this thing of time. Let's move on here. So that's the priority. God has a priority. He wants us to invest. He wants us to use it for eternal purposes. And we'll say more about that in a moment. But the preservation of time. The preservation of time. And what we have to see here is this cautious walk. And I want us to come back to chapter 5 in our text and look at... Let's begin in verse 14 again, but I want us to see verse 15 for this point. Verse 14. Wherefore he saith, arise thou that sleepest, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now watch this next admonition. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Interesting thing that Paul tells us here. If we're to accomplish God's will for our lives, we must take heed to this admonition that Paul gives us here. let's look at the statement. To be circumspect, he says that we should walk circumspectly. What does that mean? It means to be cautious. It means to be vigilant. It means to walk intelligently and to keep the entire area in view. I was telling Caleb this one day. I said, Caleb, I said, no matter where you are, always be aware of your surroundings. And I think this was more about safety than walking for the Lord. But it's the same, really the same idea. Like you can't just bebop through life. It was funny, last night we were in Heinen's. And we walked in. I said, Caleb, you grab a cart. We're going to grab these few things. So he's, I don't know what he made him think of it. He goes, hey, Dad, you ever see the Three Stooges and when Curly does this? And I can't do it, but he does it right. But he's, you know, he's kicking. Well, this lady came around the corner. He's about kicking her in the shins. And she freaked out. She was like, and he still didn't know she was there. He's like, yeah, that's really funny how he does that. And I'm like, Caleb, I said, oh, my word. He goes, what? I said, look behind you. And he turned around to that lady and he goes, oh, I'm so sorry. And she was not impressed. And she grabbed the cart and went, and he tried to go after her to tell her he was sorry, but she wouldn't have it. She had attitude. I don't like, oh. Maybe she needed a kick, yeah. But my wife pinpointed the issue. Right away she said, was she wearing a mask? And Caleb said, yes. That was the problem right there. So, but on a serious note, we were chatting one day, and I said, Caleb, just always be aware of surroundings. Be aware of what's going on. Be aware of who's around you. Be aware, you know, just you need to be aware at all times. And I think that's what Paul's telling us here, that we need to walk our Christian life in a circumspect way. We must be cautious. We must be vigilant. We must be intelligent about our walk. We have to have the entire area in view. And let me see here. I think we've got another one right after that. Yeah. Why is that? Well, the purpose for such alertness is because there is an enemy who seeks to devour our lives and time. Now, most of you know this verse. For time, I'm not going to have you turn to it, but let me read it for you. You can jot on your sheet next to that statement, this reference, 1 Peter 5:8. And I'll read it for you here. It says, be sober, be vigilant. There's that word. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan's on the prowl, and he's after Christians, and he's got, you know, he wants to do a number on you, and he's after us. And that's why Paul gives this admonition that we walk circumspectly. Satan will do all that he can do to destroy your time on earth. If he can't destroy it with sinful living, he will devour you by eating up your time with activities of no eternal value. Oh, that hurts a little bit. He'll gobble up your time. He'll get you to waste your time on things of no eternal value. Now, I understand that sometimes we need some R&R. I know sometimes we need some recreation or some distraction from the busyness of life, whatever. But even then, we've got to be careful that we're understanding the priority that God places on our time, and we must keep eternity's value in view. And that's the idea of this lesson, of course. This is why we must purposefully steward our time. We must purposefully steward our time. We must guard against Satan's tactics and live to accomplish God's purposes. So important. You know, as those of us that are parents, there's always a time when your kiddos were little and you may have had to warn them as they walked maybe near a rocky edge or too close to the edge of a river or something like that. Why? Because they could easily slip and fall into or fall over or whatever. And the idea is there that it reminds us of the importance of good balance, because if you just lose your balance a little bit, you could easily fall in or fall over and just one slip of the foot. Well, when God warns us to walk circumspectly, He's trying to teach us that we need to walk a walk that includes balance. We need to walk with balance. We must tread ever so carefully around the precarious areas of our lives and have this idea of balance. Survival requires that we learn to walk with balance. And so how can we avoid losing our balance and slipping over the edge? Well, we must allocate our time so that we steward all the resources that God entrusts us with. It would include our time, obviously. Next week we're going to talk about health. Our time, our health, our family, our finances, our service to the Lord. All of those things must be stewarded as God would have us to do. And that's how we, when we do that, that keeps us living a balanced life. Many a preacher has crashed in the ministry and left the ministry because he gave all of his time at the office, all of his time, spent no time with his family or his wife or whatever, and then burned out. And other things like that. We could go tell stories about that. So we have to have this balance in all these areas that God gives us. Next letter here. A calculated walk. So a cautious or a circumspect walk is what we saw in Scripture. Also a calculated walk. God warns us that the days are evil, and the days in which we live are evil, and He begins to show us the value of our time. Look at verse 16. So verse 15, He reminds us to walk circumspectly. And then verse 16, He says this, redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. Redeem, the word redeem means by payment of a price to recover from the power of another, or to ransom, or to buy off. So we're it's like when you go to the store with a coupon, you redeem the coupon in order to buy back or to buy that item that you're trying to purchase. You're using a coupon there to help you with that. You're redeeming. Then, of course, the word time means a fixed or definite time. It means an opportune or seasonable time. It means the right time. It also means a limited period of time, which we must remember. And so if we put all that together, the word redeem and the definition with the word time and its definition, we could say it this way. We are to, by payment of a price, recover this limited period of time because the days are evil. And that's what Paul's trying to tell us here. Our opportunity to redeem the time is now, and our opportunities may be limited. And so that's why he says, hey, redeem the time. Do it now. Today's the day. Time could run out. Plus, the days are evil. Jot this reference down. Mark 13:33. Again, I'll read it to you for sake of time. Mark 13:33. Take heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. And so a great reference there. Imagine this. Your bank calls and they ask you to help them pilot a new program. The plan is both lavish and simple. Each morning, the bank will credit your account with $86,400. I like that. Which you'll be free to spend and invest as you please. But every night, your account will close with a balance of zero. It will carry no balance from day to day, meaning that you must spend or invest that deposit that comes in each day. If most of us had such an opportunity, we would manage to find good use for the $86,400, right? The truth is, we do have a bank that credits our account each morning. It's called Time, the Bank of Time. And each day, we are generously given 86,400 seconds. But the bank we described above every morning, the non-refundable deposit is canceled by evening. Whatever you don't spend or invest is wasted. Failure to use the day's deposit results in an irreplaceable loss. A wise steward of time learns to redeem his or her moments from the bank of today and invest them into the bank of eternity. What's good? You see, eternity knows nothing about the fleeting nature of time. And anything deposited there will be forever preserved. I like that too. Whatever I deposit in that bank of eternity, it's secure, it's safe, it's got the Lord insuring it. It doesn't need FDIC or whatever it's called. The Lord is taking care of it. It's there forever. When I love my wife, when I love my children, when I help minister to a person, when I lead a soul to Christ, all these things, when I give to missions, all the things I do that count for eternity, they are investments into the bank of heaven, and God secures it there, and it's there forever. And that's what the Lord's trying to tell us here, that we must use our time wisely, invest it in eternal purposes where God will keep it there forever. We must develop an eternal value system for our time. We redeem today when we invest it into eternity. That's how you redeem the time. See, some people just waste the time. If you redeem it, you'll do that by investing it in eternity, and then you've redeemed it. This investment has results that last forever. Hey, I think we're going to make it. We're on point 3 already, and it's only 10:30. We're doing good. Okay, so the priority of time, the preservation of time, then the purpose of time. Time, however many years of it we have, is our opportunity to achieve success in life. Now, let's be careful in saying that, because if we don't clearly identify what success is, or what it looks like, then we may come to the end of our lives and realize, oh man, I focused on the wrong stuff. I focused on the wrong goals. I didn't have my priorities straight. And so it's very important that we understand what this success is. Everyone has their own definition of what success looks like. But we, as believers, we must see the eternal perspective and not the secular. You see, from the secular perspective, success may be making wise financial investments, climbing to the top of a ladder in your career field. It may be accumulating prestigious possessions. And some of that's not necessarily wrong. However, and here's the point that Paul wants us to see, we're not taking any of that with us. When life ends, so does all that end. Your career, your possessions, your Jaguar, your Mercedes, whatever, your Chrysler Sebring. Well, preacher's not in here, so rats. All that ends. But guess what? All of those things, when you redeem the time into eternity, all of that is waiting for you in heaven. Eternal rewards. And so we have to understand, okay, what really is success? And to help us with that, Paul says in verse 17, look now. So he said, redeem the time, the days are evil. Verse 17, wherefore, in other words, because of that, be ye not unwise, watch, understanding what the will of the Lord is. And so that leads us to our next thing here. Success is knowing and doing the will of God. And some of this may sound repetitious, but it's important. It is investing our time in that which will last forever. We said that a lot in the last point, but that's the truth of it. It's investing our time in that which will last for eternity. Now, this purpose of time, we need to look at this. We must seek the wisdom of God. As we consider stewarding this resource that God has given us, a resource we call time, thankfully, God has given us something freely that helps us in doing that. And that one thing is called His wisdom. And so we must seek the wisdom of God as we try to steward this resource of time. It's true that we can and should live by lists. We should have a list of priorities, a list of goals, a list of ministry opportunities. Perhaps we have a prayer list, a project list, even a to-do list. And these lists help us stay focused and help us to keep our time focused on these written priorities that we placed on a list. However, as we do that, we have to use God's wisdom in helping us with those lists. You may have heard this statement, plan your work and work your plan. And yet, in all of our planning, there is an ingredient we must have if we're to know how to steward all that time. So I can have all the lists I need and think, you know, okay, I need to do this, this, this. But I need God's wisdom and understanding how to steward my time over those lists. Otherwise, we're just spinning our wheels. There is a must-have for our must-do list. So you can have a list of things you must do today, but there's something we must have that goes along with that, and that's God's wisdom. God's wisdom. When God instructs us to walk circumspectly, in other words, with vigilance and balance, He equips us to do it with His wisdom. And so He grants us wisdom to help us walk circumspectly, to help us redeem the time. Walking in wisdom is knowing and doing what matters most. That's what walking in wisdom is. As I make my list, I was teaching Caleb something along this line recently, and how to prioritize and on your list of priorities you might label them A1 and B1 and C1. A1 is something I must do today. And B1 is something I should do today, but if I don't, it's okay. And C1 might be, if I get to it, that's okay. If not, I can always do it tomorrow, next day, even next week. It's not that important, but I do need to do it at some point in time. And so, but even as you try to make these labels on your to-do list, you know, you have to say, Lord, help me with this. What truly is important here? And have Him to help us as we go through there. You see, wisdom teaches us which priorities have eternal significance. And it helps us, this wisdom helps us to avoid time wasters. Now, I didn't put a point on your list about this, but I'm going to just mention it here briefly, and I don't want to get sidetracked on it, because the opposite of time wasting, you know, people who are lackadaisical and they just waste a lot of time. The opposite of that is people who are driven. Driven living. And one is not significantly better than the other one. You see, driven living makes us the center of our well-planned calendars. A driven life may stem from a passion to live with eternal purpose, but we show that we think God's work really depends on us. And so that's why we got to be careful about that. In our world, there's a lot that's said about driven, and there are people who have a driven tendency, which is okay as long as it's governed by the Lord's wisdom, I suppose. But driven people are sometimes busy doing the wrong things, for instance. Driven people are caught in the uncontrolled pursuit of expansion because bigger is always better. Driven people are often unconsciously trying to prove something to themselves or to others, that they can do it or whatever. So driven living is being on a treadmill with no relief and no escape, except by wisdom. Wisdom is the escape off the treadmill. Only wisdom can teach us to divine success, not by activity or by expansion or by self-validation, but by God's will for our lives. Of course, wisdom doesn't come overnight. It comes with growth in the Lord. And that leads us to our next thing here. There's really four methods of obtaining wisdom. I learned this little thing here, this little outline here, I learned way back in my college days. It's always been a help to me and a blessing. But the first way to get wisdom is to seek it in God's Word. God Himself will give you wisdom. Now, I think if we hurry, we can look at these verses. So let's go to Proverbs 2. Because we're close enough to the end that I think we'll be okay. Proverbs 2, but be quick with me. Proverbs 2, beginning in verse 2. Excuse me. Well, we need to start in verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. He said, son, if you'll listen to me, if you'll listen carefully to what I'm saying, incline your ear to the wisdom that I'm about to impart to you. And apply thine heart to understanding. Verse 3, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God, for the Lord giveth wisdom. And that's a great passage. Lots of good verbs in there, like incline, apply, criest, liftest, seekest, and searchest. That's a great passage. The second thing is we simply ask God for it. So we get it from God's Word. We get it from God directly. And let's turn to that passage once you write that down. James. James 1. This is a familiar passage, but we should look at it. James chapter 1, verse number 5. If any of you lack what? Wisdom. What's he say? Let him ask of God, that giveth to all men, how? Liberally. Boy, God says, I'll give you all you want. Just ask me. I'll give you wisdom. And it says, upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So that's a great promise there. So we can get it from God himself. Thirdly, we can listen to the counsel of others. Wise counselors, that is. Not your best bud, necessarily, but a godly counselor, a pastor or a Sunday school teacher or a godly Christian. Listen to the counsel of others. Back to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse number 5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So a wise man will hear. In other words, the idea is that a wise person is listening to a wise person. He's wise for listening to that wise person for counsel. And because he's heard the wise counsel, he increases in learning. He's learned something new. He's learned what he should do. And then fourth source of wisdom is simply through trial and error. And again, Proverbs 6:23. So let's go there one more time. Proverbs 6:23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. We learned that from Psalm 119, talks about that. But here's what I want you to see. And reproofs of life. In other words, the hard knocks. The school of hard knocks. That's what it's referring to. Are the way of life. So I can learn. This is my least favorite way of gaining wisdom. Is the school of hard knocks. And you say, you know what? I've been there and done that. That didn't work out so good. This time I'm doing it differently. I gained wisdom from a trial and error. Something I tried didn't work out so good. So these are areas of wisdom that how God will give us and impart wisdom to us. And the cool thing about that is you don't have to be super mature in the Lord. You don't have to be a Bible teacher. You don't have to be a theologian. You could be a brand new convert and just say, Lord, I need wisdom. Guess what? He's going to give it to you. He's not going to say, well, let me wait and see how you progress in the Christian life. No. God will give us wisdom. It's a promise in His Word to His children. And I love that. And so it's wonderful to have that promise there. Let me show you this verse, Psalm 90. And we're getting close to the end here, but we're doing okay. Psalm 90. Verse 12, Psalm 90, verse 12. The Lord says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. That is a great verse. Teach us to number our days, And let us apply our hearts unto wisdom so we know how to live this life that God's given us, being good stewards. Well, let's move on. We've got to get moving here now. We also must seek the will of God. So we seek His wisdom. We seek His will. So that was in verse 17. It says, "Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." I must understand what is His will. I must seek it. Now, let's turn to one last passage, and we'll stay here for the remainder of the lesson. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James describes the opposite of remembering the limited nature of life. Verse 13 of chapter 4 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." We're going to come to the rest of the passage here in a second. But here's a person who just thinks they have all the time in the world. Oh, tomorrow we're going to do this, and the next day we're going to do that, and just living through life as if we had all the time in the world, unlimited resources. Here James describes the example of a person who assumes life will continue just as it is. The person described in this passage assumes success and presumes upon God that he can live according to his own plans. What we learn from this passage is that your days are numbered and we must live with an awareness of eternity. Look at chapter 4, verse 15. "Whereas you know not," so this person is just living, he's just going like, boy, he's got all the time in the world. "You know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanishes away." Wow. All right, let's wrap it up with another statement and then the conclusion. So based on what James is telling us here, we can't just drift through life. We have to think about what we're doing. And we must seek God's will for our days. Seek God's will for our days. Conclusion, don't miss today's opportunity to invest your time into the bank of eternity. You will redeem today by investing it in the bank of eternity. And then lastly, you don't want to live your life but waste your purpose. Boy, a lot of people do that. They get to the end of their life. I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd have followed God's will. I wish. They lived a life, but they wasted the purpose. All right, thanks for your time. Only 2 minutes over, so that's not too bad.